This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Wednesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. December corn, 353, down 3. March corn, 367, down 2.5. May corn, 376, down 2.5. November soybeans, 962¾, down 1.5. January soybeans, 969¾, down 2. March soybeans, 977, down 2. December wheat, 522¼, up 3. March wheat, 536, up 3. May wheat, 543¾, up 3¼. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois Country Grain Prices ended mostly lower on Wednesday afternoon. Technical trading at the Board of Trade kept grain prices in the negative today. In northern and western Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 3 to 6 cents at 304 to 323. Soybean bids mostly 1 to 2 lower at 910 to 937. In central Illinois, Country Grain dealers quoted shell corn bids steady to 3 cents lower at 306 to 323. Soybean bids mostly 1 to 2 lower at 9¼ to 954. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 2 to 3 lower, ranging from 297 to 318. Soybean bids ended mixed at 913 to 963, and the wheat bids mostly 3 cents higher, ranging from 405 to 452. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 2 cents lower at 954 to 973, basis steady, range from 9 under to 10 over November. Hypro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered in a range of $368 to $381 a ton. That's down $2.90 to $4.90 per ton lower, and the basis ended steady to $2 per ton higher, range from $30 to $43 over December. Illinois corn processor cash corn bid steady to 3 cents lower at $3.08 to $3.41, with basis unchanged to 3 cents higher, ranging from 12 to 45 under December. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at $3.02 to $3.18. Basis steady to a penny higher, range from 51 to 35 under December. Soybean ended 4 cents higher at 953 to 960, with basis up 5 cents, range from 10 under to 3 under November. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place our producer corn bids 3 cents lower at 318 to 320. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by a nickel, with quotations at 984 to 985. Soft red winter wheat 3 cents higher at 391 to 492, while the Milo ended 3 cents lower at 372 to 373. Contract bids to producers for January delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for Jan delivered corn range from 316 up to 342. January soybean bids 934 to 964. In central Illinois, January corn bids range from 327 up to 346. January soybean bids in central Illinois 938 to 979. And in the southern part of the state on Wednesday, January corn bids range from 332 to 352, with the January soybean bids ranging from 950 up to 989. That completes our country grain report for Wednesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. October live cattle, 168, up $1.45. December live cattle, 168.20, up $1.15. February live cattle, 167.62, up $1.57. October feeder cattle, 239.45, up 72 cents. November feeder cattle, 235.17, up $1.25. January feeder cattle, 229.27, up $1.05. December lean hogs, 89.75, up $1.50. February lean hogs, 87.85, up $1.77. April lean hogs, 89.30, up $2.05. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday, the 22nd afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $2.40 lower in the range of $83 to $94.50, with a weighted average carcass price of $92.83. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 57 to 64, 4 to 5 weights 61 to 67, 5 to 6 weights 64 to 69, and 600 pounds and up 65 to 73. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading a dollar lower with moderate demand for heavy offerings, ranging in price from $60 to $69. Receipts for Illinois hogs today were 12,469 head. And now for the report from the United Producers Livestock Auction. They had receipts of 234 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 160 to 168.50. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 150 to 158.50. And choice slaughter heifers, 159 to 165.50. Now moving on to the walnut auction. They had a special bred cow and feeder cattle sale. Starting with the feeder steers, medium and large ones, 5 weights, 247.50, 7 weights, 237. Feeder steers, medium and large ones and twos, 5 weights were 247, 6 weights were 249, and they had a big group of 7 weights at 236. Feeder steers, large ones, 6 weights, were 244, and feeder heifers, medium and large ones, 4 weights were 234, 5 weights were 233 to 266, and they had some 9 weights at 259. Now moving on to the Walnut Livestock Auction, the Fairview Livestock Auction, receipts of 240 head, starting with the choice slaughter steers. They were 162 to 167. Select and choice, 162 to 163.50. Choice heifers were 162 to 167.25. And select and choice, 159. They also had a nice group of slaughter cows. The high dressing premiums were bringing 147.50 to 157. Breakers were 127.50 to 157. And boners were 114 to 120. Leans were $100 to $109. Now in the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis were $167.50 and on a dress basis $260. Heifers on a live basis were $165. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 435 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass, $101.16, and that was $2.88 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses, $2.51, and that was $1.16 higher. With select carcasses at $235.07, that was 14 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was 112,000. That compared to 108,000 last week and 124,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 429,000. That compared to 428,000 last week and 425,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. October and November corn delivered to Greenfield, $3.13. October and November corn delivered to Scottville, $3.13. October and November beans delivered to Greenfield, $9.43. October and November beans delivered to Scottville, $9.43. October wheat delivered to Scottville, $4.56. Once again, their pre-opening prices are corn at Greenfield and Scottville is $3.13, beans at Greenfield or Scottville are $9.43, and wheat at Scottville is $4.56. While the wet weather inconvenienced many farmers, market analyst for Water Street Solutions Arlen Suderman says it may have actually assisted this year's harvest, at least storage-wise.
The ironic thing is, slowing up the harvest has really kind of helped with the storage situation, and you could make an argument it's probably erased the need to find about a storage for about a billion bushels worth of grain and oil seeds because of the strong demand for soybeans and soy meal, because of the strong demand for corn domestically for ethanol production and livestock. We're continuing to move that through the pipeline. And with the slow harvest, that means we're not dumping as much grain onto the system as all at once, and is really working in the favor of maybe easing how low we might have seen that basis go.
Looking ahead to the 2015 planting season, Suderman says that he expects many farmers will switch some acres over to soybeans, although he cautions against everyone jumping on the soybean bandwagon.
Well, the common thinking has been that we would see a shift from corn to beans, and there's certainly some logic behind that. But whenever I see everyone following the common logic, then that starts to concern me, because everyone starts to go in the same direction. And so what you anticipate is going to happen then doesn't actually happen. And I think one of the concerns, or one of the leading indicators as we go forward, is frankly going to be soybean production in South America. If we see the rains fall this week that are anticipated, right now looks like dry areas of Brazil are going to get good rains over the bulk of their soybean belt, then we should be well on our way to a good soybean crop. Obviously not a crop that's made, but if we continue to see a warming of sea surface temperatures off Brazil's coast, that should favor a wetter pattern for these dry areas of Brazil. When the rains come and we get a big crop in Brazil, we're going to add to global surplus supplies of soybeans. And I think that's going to add a lot of pressure to soybean prices and make the shift in acres less attractive. At the same time, I think we're going to see a decline in corn production in both Argentina, Brazil, as well as in the Black Sea region. And I think as we get later in the year, we're going to start seeing that to be more of a supportive factor for corn. And in the end, I think it's going to start pulling some support back to corn, and we're not going to see as big a shift as originally thought in the acreage as we move through the next 4 to 6 months.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. Farmers are certainly looking forward to some drier weather, but some have been battling the elements by swapping out the tires on their field equipment in favor of tracks. I spoke with Jeff Fall of Seavers Equipment in Hillsboro.
Well, yes, we've experienced it here at the store and at all five of our locations. Mother Nature's dealt us a bad card, I guess you would say, this year with quite a substantial amount of rain, and they've really taken off quite a bit. These tracks, what they offer is a larger footprint with the weight of the combines and the heads that's on these machines. They offer a wider footprint in soft, muddy water conditions, you'd say. They really help keep it afloat. Now, they will sink some, you know, in some conditions, but they're helping out quite a bit over, like, dual tires and what have you.
So in wet years, you get better flotation so you can get out to your crops sooner?
Well, that's true. I'm not saying that you still won't make a rut or make a track, but time is money, and it just lets you get out there sooner than you could if you had a dual or possibly a single tire.
Now, do tracks have other benefits besides in wet weather, in wet conditions?
Yeah, you know, even in a average, which I really don't know what an average year is sometimes. In an average year, it offers you less ground compaction. And you'll see a lot of these guys, if you're driving out there, not only will you see this on combines, but grain parts for flotation. You know, so even they do have benefits even in a drier or normal year.
And I think you brought up a good point that people are putting them on more than just their combines. They're putting them on tractors. They're putting them on the grain carts. They're trying to put them on anything that really has to go in the field too much.
Yeah, you know, I guess you could say Case IH was the leader in the field for as far as their quad tracks. Been out for several years now, and they kind of started the trend, I guess you would say, and there's been a lot of people try to copy that track. But yes, the four-wheel drives, and now we can also get it on our MFDs or front wheel assist tractors, along with grain carts, and even there's a few planters in the spring of the year that has tracks. So tracks are taking off slowly, but as far as our quad tracks go, they've been out a long time, and you're seeing more and more of them.
And are there any drawbacks to having tracks?
Well, no. As far as drawbacks that I see, probably none, other than they are costly, or more money over tires, rubber tracks, but that's probably the only downfall. Not a lot of more upkeep in normal conditions. There's a little bit of maintenance, you know, but the benefits is well worth it.
So there aren't really any drawbacks when compared to regular tires. It's just trying to justify the cost. And these do come with a very hefty price tag. So how have you seen farmers really trying to justify dishing out that much money, especially in years like this when crop prices are down?
Well, I think a lot of people this year are trying to justify the long term of their ground versus tires. You know, you just don't get rid of these ruts that some of these combines and grain carts are making out in the field. You just don't get rid of them in a year. It takes, you know, years to get that compaction that them machines have made. It takes a while to get that ground back in condition. So that's the thing they're looking at. You know, hey, I'm going to be farming this for quite some time, and maybe they're going to pass it on to their kids. So they're trying to save the long term of the ground. It will come back, but it takes a long time for that ground to come back where them ruts are.
And do you believe that in the next few years that we'll slowly start to see more and more tracks out in the fields?
I would like to think so. You know, some people, it's hard to justify the dollar amount that these tracks cost. But, you know, as machines get a little older and tracks get used, you know, the cost of that used track machine will come down, and it's a trickling effect. There's always not new buyers out there. There's always used buyers. So, yeah, I mean, I think you're going to keep seeing more and more of it slowly.
All right. And once you get to some of the older models, is it just not feasible to put tracks on them?
Well, I would say yes. You know, as the machines get older, they depreciate, and it's hard to justify putting on a set of tracks, $70,000, $75,000 for a set on a combine on a $20,000 combine or $30,000, you know. So, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. If there's a set of used tracks out there, maybe they're for that guy that has the older combine to put on there this year. But it's a challenging year.
Again, that was Jeff Fall with Seavers Equipment in Hillsboro. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.